chapter 5. That's what we're going to be answering to begin with this evening. Questions on chapter 5. They're on the back of questions for chapter 4. Anybody else need questions on chapter 5? So it's 7 o'clock. That's our start time. Appreciate everybody being here. I'm glad to see you tonight. I'm certainly glad to see our sister Luella. Been out for a while. And we really appreciate her. We hope she recovers well. We got a bunch of announcements to make at the end of the service. Quite a few. More than usual. So we'll be doing that then. Let's bow together as we begin and have a word of prayer. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, we're so thankful unto thee for this day that thou hast given us and the blessings of this day that thou hast blessed us with. We're thankful for this opportunity to be together as thy people to study from thy holy word. We pray you'd be with all of us, all of those who are in classes tonight, that we with open minds and receptive hearts would take what we learned from thy holy word and that we would use it and apply it to our lives so that we might be better and stronger Christians and that our faith might grow by knowing more of thee. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be with all those who are sick. We have quite a few who are having difficulties of health, and we ask that you be with each one and help them to overcome the difficulties that they are having. We pray, O Father, that you would forgive us of our sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, questions on chapter 5. Leon finished up with the study of chapter 5, and now he left us to answer questions to finish that up, and then we'll be beginning in chapter 6. And if it goes as usual, I doubt that we'll have time to get to the questions on chapter 6 tonight. So I do not know who had the last question. So say again.
Daryl
had it. So we'll come back up here then, okay? Brother Wes, do you have that? Do you take question one on chapter 5? Yes. Rebuke him as a father. Exhort him as a father. Not rebuke, but exhort him as a father. Don't rebuke him. And treat him with kindness and goodness, and all that applies to how we treat our brothers and sisters in Christ. Number two. Yes, very good. Thank you very much. And question number three, you want to pass? Okay, Bill, I think we come to you.
How is Timothy to treat elder women and younger women? Treat them
okay. Say again.
How treat them with honor.
Honor. I believe the scriptures that Paul instructed Timothy to treat the older women as mothers and the younger women as sisters, didn't he? But of course you should honor them. And always honor them.
Verse 2. Yeah, older women as mothers and older women as sisters.
Okay. All right. That's it. And number 4, Ms. Cheryl.
Who has the first responsibility to take care of widows, those in the family, their children?
Their children, even grandchildren, should take care of them. That's their responsibility. And let the church not be charged or burdened with that, but yet one should take care of his own. And that's what the Bible teaches. All right, we have question number 5. Bobby?
What condition is she that giveth herself to pleasure lives in pleasure? She's self-indulgent, she's living in sin.
She's living in sin. She's dead. She is dead. She's living in sin. All right, number 6.
What does that mean, spiritually dead?
That's right. She's spiritually dead. And number 7. So, Gregory.
Who does Paul say is worse, an infidel or unbeliever? Verse 8. Anyone who does not provide for his own family, his own household.
Yes, very good. Number 8. There's a lot of characteristics of a widow who should be taken into the congregation. That there's a lot of stipulations that she needs to be like in order for that to happen. And so these are those stipulations that are stated in the chapter 5 of 1 Timothy. Number 9.
One thing that Paul learned about in regard to the younger widows, that they be not idlers and busybodies.
Okay. All right. Not idlers and busybodies. Number 10.
It says, does verse 16 make any distinction between what the church may do and what the individual Christian should do? But yes?
Yes. Yes. There is a distinction between that. Number 11. Okay. Number 12.
What is being done in the work of those who sin or pray before the congregation?
All right. Rebuke before all. Might be embarrassing, but nevertheless, that's what's necessary. Number 13, Brother Brady, we back up to you. Yes, it is, because it embarrasses that one who has sinned, and it's be a deterrent. Nobody wants to get called out in front of the congregation. Yeah, I wouldn't want that. So I'll try not to do anything to get to that point. Number 14. Teresa, you want that one?
Describe what partiality means in context of verse 21. It would be showing favoritism or prejudging.
Yes. And why? And so we should show equality, right? Before, to all people, equally. And question number 15. Going this way. That's right. So So what Paul was instructing Timothy is, don't be too hasty. If a person is a faithful person, that'll show. If a person is not a faithful person, then that's going to show too. And so don't be too quick about it. And that's what he was trying to tell him to do. Number 16.
Why was Timothy told to use a little wine for medicinal purposes, for his stomach's sake, and his frequent infirmities?
Yeah. So evidently, Timothy had some problems, perhaps stomach problems or that sort of thing. And Paul knew about that. And so Paul and Timothy had been together quite a bit. And so this may have been an ongoing thing that Timothy had been dealing with. And so as a father would tell his son, well, you need to use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your infirmities that you have. It will help you. And so that's what Paul is doing. Number 17. Okay. All right. Anybody have any questions on chapter 5 before we go any further? Okay, let's look at chapter 6. Paul continues his instructions to Timothy. And these are the things that Paul knows that Timothy is going to have to deal with. Timothy is in Ephesus. Paul is not there. Perhaps at this time, Paul had been released from the semi-incarceration that he had been in. It is thought that had happened. And not sure exactly, maybe Leah knows better than I, but Paul was writing to Timothy, and he was wanting Timothy to be prepared in how to handle all these things. Not that Timothy had not heard it before, but he had. It's just teaching, continually teaching Timothy as he was a younger man, less than 40 years old probably, and had not experienced the things that the Apostle Paul had experienced. And Paul is just helping him to develop himself. And he writes all these things to him so that he may know how to conduct himself in the house of the Lord, as we learned in the first part of our study of 1 Timothy. Ephesus was a very large city, and there's all manner of sinful conduct in Ephesus. And it's things that he would have to face and he would have to deal with. And not just from the outside, but probably from the inside too. And I say the inside of the church. And they were false teachers everywhere. And Timothy would have to deal with them too. And so that's the instruction. In chapter 6, he deals with error and greed in chapter 6. The error of those false teachers who thought that they would show godliness and that it would make them money. Godliness and it would make them money. They could profit by it. And so if they could convince enough people of the things that they were saying, then they saw it as a way for gain. That's sad. But nevertheless, that was what's going on. And not only that, as he was dealing with that sort of thing, then he deals with the tendency of humanity to want to have material things and to want to have riches. And they would be those in the church who would follow after those things and love money so much that it would cause their demise, spiritual demise, and it would separate them from God. And then he talks about Timothy and how that he should show himself and how he should behave himself and how he should live his life. And so people could see, he should be transparent, and then that people could see how he really was. Paul said this is necessary. As an evangelist, which Timothy was, as an evangelist, you need to be able to show people that you're doing what you're preaching. You're practicing what you preach. But if you don't do that, and if there's some sort of hint of any kind of wrongdoing, then it's going to destroy your reputation. And so Apostle Paul warns him about that in chapter 6. And then he talks to those people who are rich people. How they have profited a great deal. And they have a lot of things in this life. And with those lot of things in this life comes responsibility. And those who have much are responsible. So he talks to them and how Timothy should teach those people how to conduct themselves so that they would shore themselves up for the time to come when they face eternity. So let's just start in chapter 6 and in verse 1. Where it says, let as many bondservants of or under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. Bondservants. Some translations would say slaves. There are many ways that a person could be a bondservant. He could be a slave where he was purchased by his master, paid money for him, and that he would work for his master. He could be a bondservant because he owed and could not pay that master. And so he would go in bondage to that man until he got that debt paid. And so there's many ways that a person could be a bondservant. And it could be that families that the family would go bankrupt, and then they would put the mother and the father and even children into service to other people in order to survive, in order to get by. So there's many ways that a person could be a bondservant. And they were bondservants in Ephesus. They were bondservants all over the known world at that time. It is said about Rome, the city of Rome, that there were more slaves in Rome than there were citizens. And I don't know if that's exactly 100% true or not, but I've seen that in the writings of some people who think that they were more slaves in Rome than they actually were citizens in Rome. So it was quite a few people who were bound to a master. And so as a Christian, now he's talking about Christian, those who are bondservants and a Christian, then you are to treat your master with worthy of honor, that you would honor him. So you being a Christian, so that the name name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. That you would do what you should do. That you would be a good bondservant. And so he's telling Timothy, teach these people that. And not only that, in verse 2, and those who have believing masters. In other words, they are Christians. When those who have believing, these bondservants who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren. Don't despise your master because he is your brother. And they are brethren. And so it is with the master, and so it is with the bondservant too. But rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort such things. There was quite a few bondservants who was members of the Church of our Lord. And so they needed to behave themselves in the proper way. And this is what Paul said. You teach these people that so that they might show themselves as Christians. You never know what kind of effect you're going to have on somebody if they can see consistency in your life about your faith. If they see you practicing your faith and being consistent about it, there's no telling what kind of influence you can have on those around about you. Now, we don't have slaves today, or at least in this country. Yes, we did at one time. But we don't have slaves now. What kind of relationships that we do we have now that might use this to apply to us today?
Employers and employees.
Yeah, employers and employees. And don't the employees are not to hate their bosses just because they're the boss. No, but you honor them. And then if you have a boss who is a Christian, is a member of the church, then you being a Christian too, then you should have that kind of relationship. And you shouldn't have any animosity toward your boss. And you and he are brothers, but you shouldn't have any animosity to him or toward him because of that. We might use that to apply to ourselves today, those of us who are working. Greg?
In Ephesians 6, verses 3 and following, Paul expands in more detail about this, where he says, bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Not that I serve as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord.
Yes.
And not to men.
Yeah. So that's a good point. As an employee, we belong to the Lord, as an employee, we should always do our best. And it may not be the best job in the world. It may be not the best work in the world. But nevertheless, we are to not to have any animosity. Because we are in that position, and others are in better positions than that of us. They should see it, the consistency of our faith. Yeah, even in those types of relationships. Was you going to say something, Mark?
I guess since this was new back then, this doctrine was teaching you, I guess they thought if they become a Christian and not change their position in life. But he's saying that's not the case. It might change your spiritual situation, but for your physical situation, that continues on.
Yes. Yes. That doesn't change. We would want it to, wouldn't we? But that didn't change. And we changed. We're a spiritual person now. But we still may be a servant. And that doesn't change.
It does drive more responsibility to masters who are believers. In that same chapter, Ephesians 6, in verse 9, and you masters do the same things to them, giving up threat, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Stressing that accountability for both.
Both sides of it, yes. Both sides. And so, it might be difficult for the bondservant and having a master who is your brother in Christ. And it might be difficult that way, but you're still a bondservant and he's still the master. And to those soldiers who became believers, they're still soldiers, but and they're under somebody else's authority, and they take orders from somebody else, but they belong to the Lord, they're Christians. But they have to show themselves in good faith that they do belong to the Lord. Those things don't change at all. And nowhere does it say, even though Paul suggested or insinuated and as we studied in the book of Philemon, that perhaps he mentioned it to Philemon that Onesimus now was his brother. Maybe he needed to reconsider his relationship. Now, Paul insinuated that. Paul never said he should not be your slave anymore. That's not what he said. But he did insinuate that he is your brother now, and you should treat him as a brother. Okay. If anyone teaches otherwise, verse 3, and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness. So that they were those false teachers who were teaching, those people teaching error, who did not pay attention to words, wholesome words. They made their own. In verse 4, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions. And so, not only that, but that they're useless wranglings of men and corrupt minds and destitute of truth, who suppose that godliness is means of gain. From such, withdraw yourself. Do not have association with them, Timothy. There are those people who make it their life's desire to continually argue and have disputes with people, trying to show themselves superior, perhaps, than the other people. There are people who live for that sort of thing, but they don't pay any attention to the teaching of Jesus Christ. And they are, as Paul says, they are proud, knowing nothing. And not only that, but then they continue with useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. And they suppose that godliness is a means of gain. They want to show, to some degree, that they are godly. But they're not, because they don't pay any attention to the teaching of our Lord. They see it as a way to make money.
A lot of that going on today.
Uh,
a
Yes.
Going on today.
Yes.
A lot.
There are people who, and I don't want to say all these people, but they are people that have TV programs, and they preach, and they call themselves preachers, but they don't preach the truth. But they ask for your money. And so, what would you call that, Greg?
False doctrine, false teachers.
They're false teachers, but they see it as a way for...
A gain.
Monetary. Yes, they see it as... And some of those preachers are multi-millionaires, and they're preaching false doctrine. They see it as a way of gain. I don't know, but I have seen them in the past where they teach those things that are not true, and then at the end of the program, send your donations to, and I understand that some of them are multi-millionaires. Is that the type of men we're talking about here? Very similar, isn't it?
Yes, I think it is.
Yeah, it's very similar to that. And Paul teaches Timothy, do not have any association with those people. Withdraw yourselves from those people. Don't be associated with them. Not whatsoever. It's going to hurt you, Timothy, and it'll hurt your reputation, too.
The word envy there caused you to jump on to them other three words, too.
Say that again, Bray. Yeah. Yeah, and those things don't build you up. And it causes envy and strife and revilings and evil suspicions. It doesn't build up, it tears down. Doesn't build up, it tears down. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Other than what he's talking about below that.
Yes.
So it's intriguing to use that word wholesome.
Wholesome. Yes. Well, wholesome has a, in my mind, wholesome has a connection to purity. Mm-hmm. Does it in your mind?
It does.
Okay. So, yes, Greg. Yes.
Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. And I believe we've had some discussions about soundness, meaning healthy, wholesome, etc.
Yes.
Complete, pure.
Yeah. Yes. That's good. Yes. So, while we may not be surprised by people teaching false doctrine in order to, as means of gain. And we shouldn't be surprised about that because we've seen it. And as a means of gain, we shouldn't be surprised with that at all. Now he says in verse 6, now godliness with contentment is great gain. So here's the contrast. These people, these false teachers have in their minds, they show godliness, teach false doctrine, try to be superior over other people for ways of gain. Ways of gain. And then the apostle says to Timothy, now godliness with contentment is great gain. So see that contrast? Godliness with contentment is great gain. What does it mean to be content? What does that mean?
Be happy with what you got.
To be happy. Yeah. To be happy about life, about things, about who you are as a Christian. And you're content with that. You may not have much, but nevertheless, it is great gain. He's talking about spiritual gain. And not only that is it spiritual gain, but it is building up a foundation that towards eternity. And so, contentment. Then why do we see so many people that are striving, some in legal ways and some in illegal ways, trying to be rich and to have a lot of money and a lot of things in this world? We see those people. They haven't learned what the Apostle Paul is about to say to Timothy in verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Solomon would say, that's vanity. That's worthless. That's vanity. So, teach these people these things, Timothy. We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. Need to be content with what we have. Do the best we can. Nothing wrong with that. But doing the best we can, but contentment. And having food and clothing, with these things we should be content. Necessities. We have the necessities of life. Be content with it. Nothing wrong with doing better if we do it in the right way. But be content with food and clothing. And so we need to ask ourselves this question. Are we content with food and clothing? So we need to ask ourselves, are we content with what we have, Bill?
Not being content is really not being thankful for the many blessings that God has given us and not really realizing how blessed we really are.
Yeah. Not recognizing that what you have comes from God and that He has provided for you. He has blessed you. He has set things in motion for you so that you can be prosperous. And so be thankful to God for that. Yeah. Give God the praise and the glory and the honor. Don't take any for yourself. None whatsoever. Food and clothing. Be content. Verse 9. But those who desire to be rich, and desire to be rich, notice the wording here, those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Those who desire to be rich. That don't mean that they're rich now, but they have a desire to be, and it leads into temptation and to a snare. Verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money. All kinds of evil. You'll see in a little bit, there's nothing wrong with being rich. If you have been blessed and you have been put in a place of great opportunity and you are prosperous, nothing really wrong with that. So how much time we got, Keith? 2 minutes. All right. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Don't have anything to do. Timothy, flee these things. Don't be like the world. We see so much worldliness around about us. So much. So much. And it's easy to get caught up in that. And so, Timothy, don't have anything to do with that, but rather pursue righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and gentleness. And that's great gains if you do that. Great gain. So we're going to stop right there.